Good afternoon, Wrangell. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1 p.m. and we have our guest, Corey Delabru, on the line, and she will discuss birding. So if you have a question for Corey, you can give us a call at 874-2345. We aren't exactly able to air your questions, but I can always pick up the phone, get a sense of what your question is, and then pose that to Corey. So, Corey, are you on the line?
Hey, can you hear me?
I sure can. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, you sound great. So, how's it going today, Corey?
Well, I gotta say it's a little bittersweet having to cancel the Stikeen River Birding Festival. But there has been a lot of great bird activity out in the last couple weeks, so that's really awesome.
Right on. You want to start there? Give us a sense of what you've been seeing lately and what others in the community have been seeing.
Yeah, so I hope people were able to hear and see all the snow geese that were out last week. I've been here for about 10 years, and that was probably one of the best snow geese, like, migrations I can see, like, through town, at least. You know, they're come in every year, but they were super visible this year. Like, one night, I was out, you know, kind of in the evening, sorry, like, 10 o'clock, and you could just, like, hear them and see them pretty low, just the way the clouds were. You could make out the white snow geese bodies. They were flying low enough that you could see them and you could hear them definitely. And they were active for a couple hours. It was really cool. And I can't imagine what it's like up on the flats right now, or it might still be there before they head off. And so snow geese, that's one of the really great ones. And then the cranes have been out too, but just the snow geese migration this year, just being so visible in town, was pretty cool.
Yeah, Corey. So we were seeing them in the sky, but folks were also seeing them downtown.
Oh, yeah, in town. That's
yeah.
True. That's right. They were landing Chief Shakes and on the Nolan Center lawn. Yeah, so they were making themselves really visible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I got a call about that. I was hearing folks talk about it. I didn't see them personally, but I had a listener pose this question to me today, and he was talking about the snow geese and how they were downtown and people were very close to them, able to get, you know, pretty close to them to take photos and just take a gander at them. And I'm wondering, you know, not that you are a bird expert, but if you have a sense of why the snow geese were, you know, so, why they weren't afraid of the people in town and why they landed in town. And as my listener said, why they were not social distancing, like, why were they fine?
So, I'm going to start with saying that I'm not a biologist, but what I do know about snow geese, and again, this kind of all ties into why we had the festival and why we kind of promote the Stikeen River. I want to hazard a guess that maybe they were just tired. They're exhausted. So the Stikeen River is like their first stop. They come, most of this population, they are coming from the Skagit and Fraser River Valley, is kind of in Washington, British Columbia border. So they're coming from that area, and this is pretty much their first stop. The Stikeen River Delta is their first stop. So when you see them land here, they're tired. This is their first stop. So they might not, I guess they might be like so tired and exhausted that they're just like, you know, like we're hanging out here until we have the energy to keep on moving. Why they landed, and not, a lot of times you'll see that with, like, especially like a young juvenile that'll like be by themselves. They got so tired, they like lost their flock. This year is kind of different, like where I saw, like where we saw like little larger groups and not just like one individual here and there. So I'm not sure. And again, I'd have to, you know, check, ask some biologists, but I do know that they're really tired. This is their first stop. So that's what I do know. And you know, it's funny that the, yeah, on the Nolan Center lawn, I know I've seen them before at Chief Shakes as well. And I can, and they're there, you can see the, like they'll be eating in like the tidal zone. They're looking for food. And that's why they're on their way to the Stikine Delta, because those big mud flats provide all this great like intertidal area for them to feed. Mm-hmm. They stop there, they feed and they rest for a while before they move on. And eventually, actually, they're all heading to Wrangel Island, Russia, I guess you would say. Learned that, gosh, I don't know, over 5, 6, 7 years ago, one of our speakers for the birding festival, was a Russian biologist. And, he was talking about how most of the snow geese we see are actually born in Wrangel Island, Russia. So there's another really cool, kind of connection.
yeah, exactly.
The snow geese are pretty cool around here to see them. So I don't know. That's my guess. They're just tired.
Yeah.
So I would also say, so in saying that, like, try to keep your social, I mean, they're, it's really awesome to see them, but do try to keep your social distance from them as well, because they are tired. They're trying to get some food. So try to keep your distance as well in watching them. That's always good etiquette for any bird watching, is to kind of give them their space. Because especially those migratory birds, they're tired, spending a lot of energy.
Right on, Corey. Thank you. Have you seen any other birds lately? You mentioned the cranes. Have you seen any other birds in town, or are you hearing of any birds up the river?
Yeah. So warblers are starting to come in now. And so there's you know, a few varieties of warblers that are coming. I'm hearing them. The yellow rumped, the orange crowned warblers, and they, you know, and another one, golden crowned sparrows, there's another one, and they're like, they hit really hard for a couple weeks. So the golden crowned sparrows, and they're really easy to identify because they come in large groups and they have kind of a black, kind of crown with yellow in the middle, golden crowned sparrows. And they come and they, so if you've planted like seeds, I think gardeners know them, because if you planted like seeds, they just like come in and like dig them all up and eat them. So after you see the golden crowns leave, then it's safe to plant your seeds without covering them.
Oh, wow. Okay. Good to know.
They're,
yeah.
They're in big groups and they have that golden head. So they're really easy to identify if you're just kind of beginning ID. I know. And I know, actually, I guess just again, looking at kind of like the local Wrangel, like birding Facebook group, there were some kind of more unusual sightings. I think I saw osprey was sighted, which is pretty cool. They're not, that's not something that you see all the time around here. So that's pretty cool. I didn't personally get to see that one, but I know that was kind of the another kind of raptor type birds were spotted.
Okay. I'm looking these up. I see what you mean. It's a raptor type bird.
Osprey. Yeah. Osprey. And
Okay. And you're saying that these are all migratory birds, all the birds you mentioned.
Not the osprey. They're, you know, that's kind of like, well, maybe the osprey, I don't, you know, as birds are migrating, maybe the, you know, things are always moving around, but osprey is just more kind of an unusual sighting. I'd have to look that up too, of like where they normally are. That's just kind of like a rare sighting. But the orange crowned, the warblers, yep, they're all migrating from down south. They're, you know, going to their breeding areas, mostly up north. Again, on the Stikine River, there's some more breeding habitat for some songbirds. So a lot of times you'll see these birds, and some warblers you'll see all summer as well. But right now is actually also, again, the best time to hear them. Spring is also great for identifying bird calls, because this is when, you know, they're marking their you know, they're making their territory, they're nesting. So this is when they're really having a lot of bird calls. This is when you really hear a lot of them too. So they tend to make a lot more noise now. Like in the summertime, there won't be as much call activity as they've already nested and things like that. So that's another reason spring is a great time to get out. And again, another reason that, you know, in this era of this time of social distancing, this is a great time to go out birding. You know, it's an activity you can do by yourself. It might be even better done by yourself as you're, you know, quiet. You can see and hear more. So, and it's, you know, that another great thing about birding is that you can even do it with a bird feeder. You know, you can just put out a bird feeder and see what comes into your own backyard. Hummingbirds. That's another one I forgot to mention. Of, you know, people are seeing, you know, hummingbirds are coming back and people are putting out their hummingbird feeders. So another reason that I enjoy birding so much is that it can be done, you know, almost, you know, everywhere from your own yard to, you know, on the island to, again, and into the Stikine River, which has this great, you know, bird habitat. And they're different, you know, depending on where you're at. You have different birds in town versus out the road, on the shoreline, up in the forest. So there's always, I'm constantly learning. I am not a bird expert by any means, but I guess I would say I'm like a bird watching cheerleader. That's why I help organize the festival. I really think it's a great activity, and I do my best to encourage it in the community and elsewhere. So yeah, I'm still an amateur myself. I'm always learning, and I'll go out for walks and I will hear something and I'm like, oh, I forget what that is, and I'll have to go home and look it up and be like, so it's kind of a fun, you know, activity for me as well.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, let's talk more about, you know, identifying birds. Well, maybe before we get into that. So, yeah, you mentioned that you're going to see and probably more so hear birds, you know, around your house, but you can also see them out the road. And then, of course, there's birds that are going to be on the flats. I mean, who are the birds that stay in town? Who are the birds that are more likely to be, you know, up the river? What does that look like?
Well, again, it's going to change it changes throughout the seasons too. So that's another, you know, great thing about birding, is it kind of get out and change the seasons. So again, another thing I forgot to mention is that in the next couple of weeks, you'll start seeing shorebirds start coming in. They're your sandpipers. And again, just like the snow geese and the cranes, they're going to kind of, you might see them a little bit in town here on the shoreline as they do make their way to the Stikine River. And then, you know, up the Stikine, you'll just have like massive amounts, like thousands and thousands of, you know, of shorebirds. But again, like the snow geese, you might catch a little glimpses or little flocks as they make their way to the flats. But then, so I'm trying to think. So I think people are familiar with, I'm just trying to think about, if you're trying to get started in identifying birds. The songbirds are in town. And from the warblers, you'll see them, and some other favorites of mine, and I think a lot of people that bird, are the thrushes that come in, hermit's thrush and the Swainson's thrush, because they have these beautiful calls. I think like the people are, they're not here yet. They'll come in, later in May, but I feel like the summer evenings are not complete without the kind of melodic calls, songs of the thrushes, the hermit thrush and the Swainson's thrush. Like, I feel like that's just part of a summer evening in Wrangell.
Right
and
on.
I know a lot of birders tell me that, I said it was supposed to be on that one. We can find a call, do that up. No, I think a lot of birders have told me that's one of their favorites and kind of what gets them started in birding. If, let's see.
Right on. Okay, yeah, I'm checking out the thrushes.
All right.
Yeah.
So again, let's birding. They're very hard to see. Like a hermit thrush, for example, they're little brown birds. You hardly ever see them, but what you do is hear them. So you want me to play a song? Play their call?
Oh my gosh! Can you? That would be awesome.
Okay, let's play it. Okay, so that's the hermit thrush. There's another one called the Swainsons. It kind of has a similar trilling. I feel like, again, like I said, that's like in some warm summer evenings, hearing that call, that's summer to me. But they're not here. So that's one to look out for, like in the coming month, in the coming weeks. Like I said, the warblers, you're starting to hear some of those more in town right now.
Yeah, right on. Okay, and so, yeah, you just played us a bird call. How did you do that? What is this resource to where we can identify? Yeah, I'm very interested. Tell us more about that.
Let's talk about resources. And again, now with technology, it's all your fingertips. I just played that off my phone. That was my Audubon app. But there's another app, these are free ones. Audubon's a free one, and from Cornell University, which is again their website all about birds, is what I my go-to for looking up a different bird. They have an app called Merlin, which is also really good for beginning birds. And so again, you can like look up a picture really quick or look up their call really quick. So that's what I mean. Like when I'm out walking and I hear something like, oh, I know what that is, I can't remember exactly what it is, I go and turn on one of my apps and like, okay, that's what this bird is. Especially ones that you don't hear all, you haven't heard them all, in a year, and you're like, oh, springtime, I'm hearing this again. What is that? And then again, field guides. And I'm also, but then sometimes, you don't always have a service. So if I'm really like, taking a time where I'm like wanting to identify birds, especially like the sandpipers, the shorebirds that are just coming into town. You only see them kind of like for a few weeks, every year. A field guide. It's kind of old school, but I highly recommend taking a field guide with you. I have one that I just leave in my vehicle. So if I see something, I can always be like, oh, what's that one again? And then another one. But haven't.
Corey, I'm losing you.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
You sound good. Go ahead.
Another app that I've just started playing with is called Song Sleuth. And it's one that, and it's kind of hit or miss, I found. It's you where you can kind of, like, if you get the audio of a bird call, where you can kind of record it and then it'll try to ID it. From hearing it. And I feel like it's kind of hit or miss, but recently.
Yeah, this is wild. I'm looking at this song sleuth.
Song sleuth.
Helping
yeah.
me become a better bird.
Like now it's given me some that I'm like, I don't think that's right. Just again, knowing what it is. I've tested on ones I know what it is. And it's kind of like, it'll give you some options. Like it could be this or this. I'm like, but it's kind of fun to play with. And again, normally during BirdFest, Bonnie Demersion has a bird walk that we do, and she's great. And one of what makes her a great resource is I think she's been on Talk of the Rock before talking about birding. I know, but
yeah.
She's really great with birding by ear, which in our dense forests is how you how you get better at birding, because you often don't get to see the bird, you know? So I'm still working on that. I'm not an expert of birding by any means, but I really enjoy it. I enjoy learning. It gives me something to do, especially during these times.
Yeah, right on. No, I love it. Maybe let's just.
And I should also mention. Uh-huh. Oh, so I don't know if we get this later. So again, kind of mentioning that there is no Bird Fest this year, but we are encouraging people to get out and try birding. Here's another option for you. The city of Wrangell. So, you know, our partner with Bird Fest is the city of Wrangell, and we are still doing our photo contest this year. Should mention that. So
what kind of photos are you looking for? What's a good photo?
So during the festival, this is kind of, we have a photo festival, a photo contest every year. And we generally have categories because, again, the festival is kind of geared towards a certain birds, like the shorebirds. So we have categories. So shorebirds, waterfowl and cranes. So it's like duck, geese, swans, cranes, because, again, they're coming out this time. Bird watching in action, which is people bird watching, and then other birds. And so we kind of emphasize the shorebirds and waterfowl, since that's kind of what our festival emphasizes. But there's a category for other birds as well. So if people are out looking at birds, maybe I think we're going to put out some more the detailed information on the Wrangell CVB Convention and Visitor Bureau Facebook page tomorrow. But during the first 2 weeks of May, we're encouraging people to get out, take some photos, and then they can email the photos to fun@wrangellalaska.org, and they need to be received before midnight on May 13th, and they'll be entered into our photo contest for the festival. So we're keeping our kind of, and also I think, and KSDK on their Facebook page has been having named that tweet on their Facebook page. So we've kind of kept up a few of the contests going from the festival, just to kind of still encourage getting out and birding, even though we can't have the festival this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that, Corey. Could you maybe play us some more bird calls?
Okay.
That would be cool.
All right. So I mentioned golden crown sparrows. So let's go with them, because I saw a big flock of them, and they're pretty easy to identify. And they're only around for like a couple of weeks during this time. Like right in the spring. You'll hear them now and then they'll be gone.
Okay.
And so another thing with learning to identify bird calls is trying to like think of a way to remember it. So for that one, it's, oh dear me. I'm trying to think, like they're saying, oh dear me.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
So that's just kind of one way to remember that. Oh dear me, we've eaten all of your seeds.
Me. Oh dear me. Okay.
Oh dear me.
And is that a call or a song? Like, what's the difference?
Oh, so the song is when you refer to, I sometimes accidentally say them both, but the song is more of your, like the oh dear me. A call refers to kind of like other noises that they make, like little chick chick chick, other noises that birds may make that are, that isn't that kind of like drawn out, more like beautiful bird song.
Okay, thank you.
Because their birds are constantly making noise, and I know I make the mistake of saying both, but what I when you're saying the song, you're referring to their kind of drawn out, song there, and then the call is just like chick 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 or whatever a bird might make, the noises that they're constantly making.
Okay, cool. So there's and again, for the golden-crowned sparrow.
Oh, poor me. let's see. What other are around right now? Let's see. Here's the yellow-rumped warbler. I think of this one because I saw this in my yard a couple days ago. Again, yeah, it's like, this is what you see. And say, so the yellow-rumped warbler has has different subspecies. Here's a yellow-rumped. Maybe that one's not kind of as easy to remember because it kind of has that trilling, but that's why I just happened to see that in my yard a couple days ago. So it's like, oh yeah, there's yellow-rumped already back.
Yeah, thank you. And there's different kinds of the yellow warbler, you're saying.
We mostly have the Audubon, I believe. Again, something else. I'm just kind of thinking as I.
No, you're fine.
I'm trying to think about what I've seen recently and what's kind of interesting. Oh, let's see. Here is. Let's see. Okay, sorry. That's the problem with using apps, is that you're kind of distracted by like what you have to having to type it. So it's kind of, I would say I try to like concentrate on what I'll do is like pick a couple that I know are around and try to listen to them before I go out, and then try to think about when I'm out like on a walk. Like, oh, I bet the Townsend's warbler is out. And so I like play it and kind of try to remember it. And then when I'm walking, like, oh, there it is. Hello?
Hi.
Oh, sorry. I thought.
Yeah. Okay. So do you have one more to play for us?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
You're fine. So you're saying, you know, these apps, sure, you can use them in the field, but they're also great for this sort of pre-homework, you know, do your homework.
Because otherwise you can get kind of like overwhelmed. So I try to pick a couple that I know have been spotted, or I know that tend to come in. And so I'll try to like remember, I'll try to listen to it at home where I can kind of clear it, and then try to remember it, come up with that device, like, oh dear me, or and then you, when you're out in the field, you can kind of remember, oh, that's that one. Sorry, the one I was trying to, the one I wanted to play is not working. Sorry.
What's the name of it?
I wanted to, the sapsucker, the, which is a woodpecker.
Oh,
which
yeah.
You'll hear a lot. And let's see.
Okay, I'm going to look over here too. You want to do the yellow bellied sapsucker? Is that what we have?
I was going to do the red-breasted sapsucker.
Okay, I'll look for that one too.
That's another one that you'll hear commonly. And people are familiar with the, you know, woodpecker tapping, but they have another.
Okay, I've got a sound here.
Okay.
Tell me if this sounds right. But I'm looking at allaboutbirds.org, and this is the red-breasted sapsucker.
Can you find so that's more, I feel like that was more of like what I'd call, let's see.
Corey.
Sorry, that was.
Go ahead.
I mean, it's not the.
Corey, we just got a question. We were wondering, why do woodpeckers peck on metal?
Oh, because they're, it's territorial. Like, so, it makes a better, cooler, it makes a louder sound. So if you're trying to say to other male woodpeckers, that this is my area, then, you know, tapping on metal is a great way to,
yeah, to ward them off.
To say this is you know, this is my territory. You know, maybe I was thinking about the yellow bellied. Sorry. But yeah, that's what it is. Their tapping is letting others know. And so if you're tapping on metal, there's a great reverberating, there's like a great sound to that.
Hi. You want to play the yellow bellied? I think I just saw it.
I guess. All right. Sorry. I'm June. I apologize. Let's forget about that. I was trying to, I don't know what I was thinking.
I got a sound pulled up for the yellow bellied.
No, I think I should have had these lined up beforehand.
That's okay. That's on me. It's not a problem.
Actually, let's try a different one. Let's try a different woodpecker. How about a northern flicker?
Okay.
Let's go find it. Let's go for the northern flicker. Because that is one, that's another really great town bird where you'll see it a lot. And so that's a good one to identify for beginners.
Okay, I've got one pulled up from the Cornell lab. Do you want me to play it?
Yeah, play that one.
Okay. So yes, the northern flicker. So that is the northern flicker, and he's got spots on him?
Yeah, so that's why, I think that's another question I see, people will, they're just starting to identify birds, they're often in yards, and they're large and they have spots, and they're very colorful, and they have this black patch on their chest, and so they're kind of easy to like kind of spot. And so people, that's another one I often people will see in their yards. They're around, and it's easily seen in town, and it's a good one to identify.
Cool. Yeah, this northern flicker, he looks pretty interesting. He's got his spots. He's got his kind of stripes on his back. Yeah. Okay. Well, Corey, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. And definitely there are a lot of really cool resources online for people to check out before they head out birding, it sounds like.
Yeah, and again, we'll continue hopefully the birding festival next year and in the future. And it's just this forum, this chance, opportunity to learn more about these really great resources. You know, the Sikkim River in our backyard is like, it's an awesome resource. I mean, we all know it's an awesome resource for recreation, but it's also really important habitat for all these birds. You know, the snow geese we saw, you know, last week, that it's really important to them. And so we're trying to celebrate the fact that we have this really important resource in a world where great habitat like that is diminishing. So, and it's a great, and it's spring too. So it's like end of winter, let's celebrate the arrival of birds. And I think that's why people around here especially really look forward to that. It's like, oh, it's a sign of spring. It's something, you know, it's summer's coming. The birds are coming back. And so I think people enjoy looking for them every year. And so again, I encourage everyone to get out and bird. Look and listen for what is coming into town, and share with others what you've seen. We have a Wrangell Birders Facebook page that you can look for, and people will post interesting things that they've seen, so you can kind of get out and try to look for them too. And hopefully in the future there will be more educational opportunities to learn about birding. Like I said, as you can see, I'm still learning myself. But what I do enjoy is the opportunity to learn more about them. And if you get out and take a great picture, consider sending it in to the Sikkim River Birding Festival photo contest for 2020. You have until May 13th. And listen for the tweets every day on the KSDK Facebook page for Name That Tweet.
Right on, Corey. Thank you so much for coming on air to talk to us about birding. And I hope you have a happy birding season and a happy spring and summer.
All right. Thanks, June.
Thank you so much. Take care.